Did you see the Senate unanimously pass legislation making daylight saving time permanent? I won't go political here. I have some causes that I wish they would address. I'm not going to get into it. I come in peace. Just want to make you laugh. But is this what you're spending your time on? Jimmy Kimmel said he was especially proud to be an American today. We finally agreed on something, an idea that every sane American can get behind, that the sun shall never again set lunchtime on Christmas Day, and may God bless us, everyone. I have to say, this is a day I've been waiting for almost my whole adult life. Something finally happened. The U.S. Senate today voted across party lines to make daylight saving time permanent, meaning we may never have to change the clock on the microwave oven again. Various politicians have been trying to do this for years, but they kept getting clock blocked. When was the last time anything got a unanimous vote in the Senate? They couldn't even agree unanimously to condemn Asian American hate crimes. Josh Hawley was like, let's not rush into anything. Senator Marco Rubio, Florida, Republican, was the lead sponsor of the bill. He said there is strong science behind it that is now showing and making people aware of the harm that clock switching has. Well, good for you, Marco. Wait till you find out about all the other things that have strong science behind them. You're going to be amazed. It's going to be big for you. James Corden said they're calling it the Sunshine Protection Act, which is actually my favorite Maroon 5 album. Fallon, everybody in the Senate was like, what happens now? We've never passed a bill before. This is weird. Meanwhile, every wall clock said, but that's the only time you ever touch me. Amy Schumer is hosting the Oscars for some reason. I keep thinking about this. It's weird. Think about Amy Schumer. Her style of comedy. It's kind of downbeat, cynical, snarky, sarcastic. The Oscars are supposed to be a celebration. Happy. Hey, look, it's Tom Hanks. Hey, this movie was awesome. Hey, Lifetime Achievement Awards. And I don't see how Amy's vibe, and also Wanda Sykes, same issue. I don't see how that's going to fit into the Oscars. If you told me Tina Fey was hosting the Oscars, I'd be like, okay, yeah, well, I've seen her do the Golden Globes and she's upbeat. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If you told me Cecily Strong was hosting it, to be like, wow, they went a little deep there, but all right, Cecily's on SNL and she's a great singer, so that opens up some possibilities. Yeah, I could see it. Trevor Noah is hosting the Grammys. Again, back to vibe. Trevor seems, you know, kind of upbeat and happy to be there. So I was thinking, who should host the Oscars? And I came back to my former coworker, Jamie Foxx. Let's check the boxes. He's funny. He can sing. He can act. He's won an Oscar. I'm not sure if he can dance, but knowing the guy, I guarantee you, if you told him he had a dance on the Oscars, if he can't already dance, and it won't shock me if he's already a great dancer, but if he's not, and you told him, hey, a month from now, you got to host the Oscars and you got to dance, he would nail it. He would work so hard to make sure he was the best dancer you've ever seen. Jamie Foxx should host the Oscars. However, Amy Schumer's hosting the Oscars for some reason. I have updated the Comedy Power Rankings. I do this from time to time. It's just a gut feeling. You can comment. There's a subreddit, Daily Comedy News. There's a Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. Here are the current updated Comedy Power Rankings. You ready? Number one, Pete Davidson. Is he the best comedian? No. But he's commanding the most attention right now. He's going to space this week. He's going to be in the news. This whole Kim Kardashian, Kanye West stuff, he's going to be in the news. At some point, he'll be on SNL. He's going to be in the news. Pete Davidson, number one in the Comedy Power Rankings. Number two, Joe Rogan. There are Joe Rogan stories every day. It's usually related to Spotify and stock prices and somebody's mad at somebody. But Joe Rogan gets talked about. Again, is he the funniest comedian? No. Is he the best comedian? No. But these are the power rankings. Number two. Number three, and this next person's going to be moving up over the next few weeks, Amy Schumer, who's hosting the Oscars for some reason, and Life and Beth is out, and there's the full court PR, Amy Schumer's the greatest thing ever, PR campaign going on right now. Believe me, the Amy Schumer articles are just starting. Wait till you see what happens this week. Number four, Jim Gaffigan, quietly going about his business, does shows, appears on podcasts, does clean enough comedy. Everybody likes Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan, quietly, number four. Number five, starting to sink in the rankings because he's been quiet lately, Dave Chappelle. But at any moment, Dave Chappelle could shoot right past everybody and be back to number one. It's just a matter if Dave chooses to or not. Now, coming up is the Netflix Comedy Festival. Chappelle's part of that, so that will up his visibility. Number six, John Mulaney. Also starting to sink in my rankings here just because he hasn't been that visible other than the SNL appearance. And all right, he left his wife and Olivia Munn and there's a baby and, you know, nothing new with Mulaney. Number seven, Please Don't Destroy. That's the comedy troupe, the sketches on SNL. recently they did a sketch and they got a big ovation before the sketch. I think Lorne Michaels must have heard that applause. Those guys are happening, and I hope they get more daylight on SNL. Please don't destroy it. Number seven, a couple from SNL while we're in that mode. Number eight, James Austin Johnson does a pretty decent Biden, does an even better Trump. He is a secret weapon on SNL, getting a lot of visibility because of the characters he plays. Keep an eye on him. Number nine, the criminally underused Bowen Yang. Have you ever seen a sketch Bowen Yang is in which Bowen Yang is not hilarious? I have not. And number 10, I'm adding in Jeff Foxworthy because he's got a Netflix special this week. And I think people have forgotten how great Jeff Foxworthy is. And seeing how well Jim Gaffigan's special did and Foxworthy working clean, I think that Netflix special is going to do really, really well. So he's number 10 and rounds out the comedy power rankings. You can comment on Facebook or Reddit. Speaking of Bowen Yang, he told People magazine what it's like at the SNL after parties. He said, some of my happiest moments have been at the after parties. He describes his after party vibe as equal parts wholesome and debaucherous. He says it can usually be found sipping a cocktail before eventually wandering out onto the dance floor. I drank a bourbon when I went to Kim Kardashian West's secret after party. I turned around and Khloe Kardashian looked me in the eyes and said, what are you drinking? That's so sad. Drink shams with me. I was like, whatever you say, Khloe Kardashian. And when RuPaul hosted back in 2020, the DJ played Be My Lover, and I knew every single word. Everyone got on the tables and danced. Michael Che was like, whoa, Bowen's going off. Normally, he's cool as a cucumber, so if I can get Che out of his chair, then I've done something right. Now, what about the next morning, man? Well, he says, it'll be bacon, egg, and cheese from some cute little bagel shop in Brooklyn, or fried dumplings. Boy, that's how expensive Manhattan is. This guy's on SNL and he lives in Brooklyn? Wow. And any episode of 90 Day Fiancé, because it's so jarring and it's literally sobering, you just feel better about where you're at in life. Tom Papa has noticed a change in how he approaches his performances on the road. This from St. Louis Today. Tom said, having the break. Did you hear the Queens come in? I dropped the G there. I said, having. I'm leaving it in. But that's the Queens coming out there. Having the break and being away from it really made me value being able to do this. I used to show up at the theater like half an hour before a show, go on, it was done. I'd get out of there. Now I find myself showing up a couple hours before just to be there. Like, why would I sit in a hotel room when show business is waiting for me right down the street? His show features all new material because despite his other activities, the pause in touring gave him time to write it. That said, he's not averse to occasionally dropping in a routine that's a favorite with audiences. He says, I try not to have rigid rules. It's supposed to be fun and joyful. And if something leads into a joke I've done before, I'm not going to beat myself up if I do it again. Papa talked about opening for Jerry Seinfeld back in the 90s. That clearly upped his visibility. He picked me out of the clubs in New York when he was coming back to do stand-up. I just grabbed onto his coattails and didn't let go. I absorbed everything that I possibly could from him and toured with him for a long time. Whenever people ask me what my biggest break was, I always say it was meeting Jerry. It's all about being true to yourself. I don't swear a lot in my everyday life. For me to put that in my act seemed kind of silly. When I was a young comic, I would do that once in a while, and I could feel the audience going like, what are you doing? I work hard on this. It shouldn't be the same stuff that you can just hear on a school playground. I should be a little bit better writer than that. Tig Notaro talked about being on that horrible Star Trek Discovery. You heard me on St. Patrick's Day say I'm a big Trekkie. Boy, all this Kurtzman Trek, hate it. Hate Star Trek Discovery. Love Tig Notaro. Hate Star Trek Discovery. Her character, Jet Reno, was revealed to have endured the loss of her wife. Tig said, I think it's an interesting element to the character, but I think also relatable in ways that sometimes when you've been through something or struggling, the certain protective layer that Reno projects, when you dig deeper, you find that there's some pain or a hard road that somebody's been down. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the backstory. I don't know what's coming. This is very much a written TV show. I'm not just showing up and being myself and saying whatever I want, because if I said whatever I wanted, I certainly wouldn't be saying the crazy scientific jargon. That's not what would be coming out of my mouth. Tig recently earned a certification in plant-based nutrition. She's making plans to share that knowledge. I'm hoping I can very soon start helping people that want to shift their diet for health reasons or environmental reasons or animal rights, whatever brings you to plant-based eating. I'm hoping to use that to maybe do live events or podcasts or something to help people who are interested in eating that way. There's a new episode of the show I host for the Live One app. It is called The Weekly Comedy Thing. On that, I get to play stand-up comedians because the way rights and stuff works. So say, for example, I told you a story about Tig Notaro and plant-based eating. I would then play a clip by Tig Notaro. So on that show, more comedy, less me, but still some me. It's called A Weekly Comedy Thing. It's free. It's on an app called Live One. Download it. Listen to the show. Weekly Comedy Thing. New episode out today. I got to figure out how to start scamming the international comedy scene. I got to get myself invited to these things and get someone else to pay for it. For example, the Dubai Comedy Festival is back May 12th. Come on, Dubai. You've got money. Wouldn't you like to have daily comedy news live from your comedy festival telling the people of the world about it? I think you do. Well, I'm not going. Wasn't invited. But comedians going include Maj Jobrani. I don't know how to say this next comedian's name. All caps. N-E-M-R. Is it Neymar? Is it N-E-M-R? Is it Neymar? I don't know. Let's go with Neymar. Eddie Griffin. Mina Lichione, Virdaz Gad Emela, and Ali Sayed will perform during the 11-day comedy festival. Hey, honey, the Dubai Comedy Festival invited me to do my podcast from there. I'm going to be gone for, call it with travel, 13 days. You cool? She's going to love it. Ahmed Al-Khaja, CEO of Dubai Festivals, and apparently the man whose attention I need, said, after mapping two seasons of massive hits, we're thrilled to welcome Dubai Comedy Festival once again. The festival has continually set the benchmark in the region for offering a stage to some of the best regional as well as global talent, bringing a diverse mix of communities together. We look forward to seeing a full house as Dubai being one of the first cities to resume events to full capacity and with the safety, blah, 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 and being an international hub for comedy and entertainment. I love the little descriptions here. Maj Jobrani is an American comedian and actor who is part of the Axis of Evil comedy group. Virdaz is one of India's most popular comedic stars. Edward Reuben Griffin, that's how they phrased it, is an American comedian and actor best known for portraying Eddie Sherman in the sitcom Malcolm and Eddie. Yeah? And for playing the title character in the 2000 comedy film Undercover Brother. I don't know where I know Eddie Griffin from, just being a comedian, I don't know. And N-E-M-R, Neymar, Neymar, again, I'd love to know how to say your name. Invite me over. We could have dinner. Is a Lebanese-American stand-up comedian who's credited with establishing and pioneering the stand-up comedy scene throughout the Middle East, where he performs in English. You know who else needs to hook me up with some travel? Is the Sydney Comedy Festival. They're coming back too, April 25th through May 22nd. That's a long one. That's a month. Maybe I could go there for the first half, hop a flight to Dubai. Hey, honey, you know how I talk to myself in the basement when you're doing laundry? It's really taking off. Two comedy festivals invited me. I'm going to be gone for a month so I can record podcasts in Sydney and Dubai. She's going to love it. Well, good news. International borders are open. International acts are back, baby. Expect gags from David O'Doherty, Melanie Bracewell, The Dollop, Jason Long, that NEMR person again, plus many more. I gotta look this up. I gotta educate myself. Maybe you guys are like, how does he not know who this is? NEMR is a South Jersey-based outsourced human resources payroll and benefits company, and apparently an international comedian? No, but that's what came up. How about NEMR Comedy? Let's click on this. Now I'm trying here. I went to Google, how do you pronounce NEMR? Showing results for how do you pronounce meme? So one of the other tricks we learn as producers is you put on a YouTube video and you hope someone else introduced that person somewhere. So I tried that. I found a clip on his Twitter account where he was announcing tour dates, except he announced them as Optimus Prime, did a pretty decent impression, never said how to pronounce his name. Then I found on YouTube a full show by this person. Love isn't the answer. Full show. An hour and 22 minutes on the YouTube. There's no introduction. He's suddenly on stage. I don't know how to say your name. I'm trying to support you. I'll come down to Sydney. We'll have dinner. Then we can have dinner again in Dubai. My wife's going to love it. Anyway, that guy is in Sydney. That was a long way for that, Joni Mac. Jeez. Those comedy acts will be interspersed between Australian stand-up talent, like the always chic Karen from Finance. That sounds like a fun act. What's Karen from Finance? The bio, Karen from Finance is the premier corporate queen of Melbourne, Australia. She lives alone with her budgie Dante and enjoys tax time. The Drag Race Wiki tells me Karen from Finance is the stage name of Richard Chadwick, an Australian drag performer and contestant on the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. I knew about Drag Race. I didn't know they did RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. Anyway, Karen from Finance, Becky Lewis, Reese Nicholson, and more. Sydney is a great place. If you've never been there, you should go. Trust me. Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key is reteaming with Jordan Peele, both on the cast of Wendell and Wild. That's a new animated film. It's described as an American stop-motion animated dark fantasy comedy horror film. Two scheming brothers, Wendell and Wild, must face their arch nemesis, the demon-dusting sister Helly. Mac Packer Keegan-Michael Key plays Wendell. Jordan Peele plays Wild. All right, so they are teaming up. Great. And from Canary Media, your home for comedy news, meet Raleigh Williams. He's a climate comedian. Raleigh says, I'm a comedian living in New York City. I just got a climate science and policy master's degree from Columbia, and I'm a big fan of billiards. I moved from Denver to New York to get into comedy, and I ended up writing and performing a sketch comedy show called An Inconvenient Talk Show, where I played a strung-out Al Gore, and my guests are comedians and climate scientist experts. After about a year of doing the show, it became clear I needed to get more informed about the climate crisis, so I enrolled at Columbia University. He also has a climate podcast. It's called Sweatpants with Raleigh Williams. It's described as a low-key climate podcast. What does that mean? He says the podcast is a kind of way to keep the interview part of the talk show alive without having to do a bunch of editing. My favorite thing about the talk show is getting to know climate scientists and experts as real people with lives and kids and hobbies, blah, blah, blah. I checked it out. It was all right. And from the Yorkshire Evening Post, they caught up with Russell Brand. I met Russell Brand one time. He was very charismatic, and I can't remember the particulars. We needed him to record promos for something, and he came in and was one of those people that could nail copy in one take. I love professionals like that. Nailed it, read it properly, read it funnily. Is funnily a word? It is now. Russell Brand, met you once, enjoyed your company. The Yorkshire Evening Post said, you've called your new live show 33. What does that mean? Because he's 46 now. Russell said, the show's called 33 because when I was 32, I thought I was going to die at 33. As you can see, that didn't happen, so I made it my lucky number. Really? I'm going to make my lucky number 111. I subsequently found out that it's a very significant and important number in numerology, and also evidently in the secret cartel that runs the world, the Illuminati. That has led to continual accusations that I might be a member. If I am a member, I don't know about it, but that's what I would say if I was in the Illuminati. What's a new show about? It's a celebration of the last couple of years and what's been revealed politically and spiritually. One, we learned that you can change society radically overnight. Two, we realized that work wasn't always necessary in the way we were told it had been. And three, we can never trust our constantly partying government again. And now we have an opportunity for radical personal and social change. That is your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.